chapter 8 now, and we'll read the whole of the psalm. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him a ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What a glorious creator we have. And this evening, I haven't split the passage, but I've got three titles. The first one we're going to look at is God's glory revealed in nature. The second one is God's glory more fully revealed in man. And the third one would be God's glory most perfectly revealed in Christ. So, the first one would be God's glory revealed in nature. It was midnight. The sky is bright with stars. And as the psalmist muses, the fire burns. And he bursts into song. It brings a vision of the glory of God as the great Creator. I remember some years ago we went as a family over to visit Ruth's sister in Canada and America. We went for quite a number of weeks, and one of the weeks it was just before we were due to fly back to this country. We based ourselves quite near Boston, about an hour's drive from Boston in the USA, and we went on a whale watch. So I had to get up quite early one morning and get this boat, and we travelled what seemed like miles out to sea. Well, it must have been miles because the land disappeared. It was absolutely incredible. I don't think, as a family, we've taken so many photographs of any one particular thing in all our lives. These fishermen or sailors, whatever you want to call them, with all their sonar, and that they can spot where the fish are, where the whales are. And it's one thing to see it on telly, isn't it? And that is incredible. But to actually be part and go and be amongst these great creatures that God has created was just unbelievable. I cannot even describe it. And we were very fortunate. We were out there for quite a long time. It was a whole sort of long morning, and I think we got back in the early afternoon. But at one stage, we actually saw a whale breach. That's where it came right out of the water. Unbelievable it was. Unbelievable. And I remember another time when I had to go with work down to the Falkland Islands. Once I'd finished all our work, one thing I wanted to see, I thought, I'm not coming all this way, you know, halfway around the world, and not see any penguins in their natural environment. So my boss was actually with me, and he wanted to go into Stanley. So we travelled the rough road into Stanley, and I said, look, I don't mind if you don't want to come, but I do want to go to, I think it was called, well, I can't remember, something Cove anyway. And so he agreed to come, and it was lovely just to see all these penguins. Unfortunately, we couldn't get near them because it was all barbed wire off, because it was like a minefield in there, all suspected mines. So we weren't allowed to go near them, but the penguins didn't seem to mind anyway. But it was just so nice to see part of God's creation, not at the zoo, but in its natural environment. And, you know, we've seen on television, I'm sure, a pair of courting polar bears, surprisingly tender. We've seen wave-surfing penguins escape from the hungry sea lion. We've seen a team of killer whales work together to create a giant wave that sweeps the seals off the ice floes. I'm sure we've seen too on these programs the woolly bear caterpillar that freezes solid every winter. It's got natural antifreeze in its body, keeping it from dying. And it takes 14 years before it's eaten enough so it can turn into a moth. Now, if you haven't seen all this, it's on Frozen Planet. All right? Absolutely amazing. That, I know there's a lot of rubbish on television, but there's some good stuff, isn't there? And when you see stuff like this, it just makes you marvel at our Creator, doesn't it? Well, courting polar bears, wave surfing penguins, teamworking amongst killer whales, caterpillars that freeze and thaw, it's all amazing, isn't it? Isn't creation glorious? And our response should be the same as the psalmist. You know, the heavens have a purpose, don't they? The outward glory images the inward spiritual glory. The stars are a silent witness for God. Their size, their order, their splendor, and their mystery proclaim the greatness of God. You know, and the more glory of God that strikes our eyes, the humbler we feel in his presence, I'm sure. I'm sure there's been many times, and maybe tonight would be a good one, I don't know, where we can go out our back doors into our gardens and we can look up into the heavens, can't we? Lovely, clear, cool evening, and we can see the stars. I can't help but think how great God is. How marvellous that he's put all these bright lights in a special place. You know, it's this God, isn't it? This same God who rules above, and he also rules below. If God cares for the stars, how much more will he care for us? I just want to read a verse in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26 says this. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Psalm chapter 8 and verse 1. Our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So we've looked at God's glory revealed in nature. Perhaps we could look at God's glory more fully revealed in man. It may be said that in man, creation first became intelligent, self-conscious, endowed with conscience and will, able to understand its maker. Man is the last and fullest expression of God's thought, a being like himself. And Psalm 8 reminds us there is something far more glorious than all these animals and birds and fish. In fact, there's something far more glorious than the sun and the moon and the stars. What does the psalmist have in mind? Why, he's talking about mankind. The point of the psalm is not just to talk about God's wonderful creation. It's to remind us about the glory of man. When you look at all the amazing things in creation, we need to ask the same question as the psalmist. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You know, next to those caterpillars that freeze and thaw for 14 years, what is man? Next to the killer whales that work together, what is man? Next to the glory of the sun and the vastness of space, what is man? Is there anything special about us? Is there any particular reason why God looks after us? We need to know that answer, don't we? What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? It says in Psalm 8 verse 5, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. God is mindful of mankind because we have been made a little lower than God himself. God cares for mankind because we have been crowned with glory and honor. We need to go back perhaps to Genesis for a moment to see what we are told about mankind's creation. It says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Of everything made by God, man and man alone is made in the image of God. Not polar bears, not penguins, not killer whales, not woolly bear caterpillars. No matter how amazing these creatures are, no matter how big they are, no matter how manlike they may be, unlike man, they are not made in the image of God. Man alone is made in the image of God. And so man alone is a little lower than God. What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. God is mindful of mankind because we have been made a little lower than God himself. God cares for mankind because we have been crowned with glory and honor. It's only through man made in God's image that God can rightly reveal himself. Do you know, if heaven stood alone, there would be silence. But when man was created, there was an eye made to see, a heart made to feel, and a voice to proclaim God's praise. Perhaps I can read Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 to 10. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestinated us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made us and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. So we've looked at creation, we've looked at man. Perhaps now we could look at God's glory, most perfectly revealed in Christ. You see, as we look through Psalm 8, we have seen the glory of God's creation. We've also seen the glory of man, but now I want us to see the glory of Christ. From the beginning to the end of this psalm, it is all about Christ, isn't it? And as we look through this prism of Psalm 8, we should break out into a psalm of praise to God, saying and singing, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Perhaps we could start by turning to Hebrews chapter 2. And I want you to take note that Hebrews chapter 2 quotes the words of Psalm 8. It is not to angels that he has subject the world to come, about which we are. But there is a place where someone has testified. Here are the words. What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to him, do we? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, and he is now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Did you notice too that Hebrews chapter 2 changed the words of Psalm 8? Hebrews changes heavenly beings to angels. The man who was a little lower than God is now a little lower than the angels. Why this change? Well, maybe it's because man has made a mess of his stewardship of this earth. We're not here, are we, to rape and pillage the earth? We're not here to abuse our positions as stewards of creation. We should be here as earth keepers rather than earth destroyers. That is the way it should be. Now, I don't really know whether all this is true or not, but if you go onto the internet and go on to Google search and look at how many species are disappearing every year, there's thousands of them. Thousands of them. You know, when they cut down a rainforest, I wonder how many species of bugs and creatures actually become extinct. But whatever that number is, whatever it is, it's obvious that man today is not exercising proper dominion over creation. Man cannot control fish. He cannot control the birds and the animals and the insects or the plants. Man can't even control himself. And why is this? The problem is sin. When man fell into sin, he lost the ability to properly exercise dominion over creation. What else is sin done? Because of sin, man often makes a god out of what is created rather than the creator. Often man will bow before something that is created rather than bowing before our creator. But we see Jesus, don't we? We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. But we see Jesus. Jesus is God's answer, isn't he, to man's dilemma. For instance, when Jesus was here on earth, we can see and read in the Bible that he exercised dominion lost by sinful man. Just consider these incidents that I will go through now. We remember Peter and the disciples, don't we, when they were out all night fishing and they caught nothing. And early in the morning, Jesus was there on the shore, wasn't he? And he said to them, throw down your net on the right-hand side of the boat. And when they did this, they had so many fish that they couldn't haul it in to their boat. You see, Jesus had control over the fish, didn't he? Jesus shows his control over birds in the story of Peter. You remember when Peter denied Christ? You remember he boasted that he was ready to go with Jesus to prison or even to death. And Jesus answered him and said, I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. You see, Jesus had control over the birds. And there was also at the time of his temptation, Jesus was in the desert 40 days. And Mark specifically tells us in Mark chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, that Jesus was with the wild animals. But they posed no threat to Jesus because he exercised dominion over them. And then there's Palm Sunday, isn't there? When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a colt, which no one had ever ridden. You can read about that in Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 7. And anyone knows who knows horses will know that no animal will willingly submit for the first time to the weight of a saddle or a man. But this colt did. Why? Because Jesus exercised dominion over it. But we see Jesus. Not only did Jesus exercise dominion, he was also given a dominion. But we see Jesus, who was made little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. And here in Hebrews, he is talking about the ascension of Jesus, when he sat at God's right hand, at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus was given dominion to lost man. Hebrews says, because he suffered death. It was after he tasted death for everyone that he was given a name which is above every name. It was because he tasted death that every knee will bow before him. You can read that in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. Think about this, that Jesus, out of grace, tasted death for everyone. He, the Son of Man, part of the triune Godhead, tasted death. He suffered and he died. Man was crowned with glory and honor. But he lost his crown and became the slave of sin. And Jesus Christ regained that glory and honor. And all because Jesus made himself lower than the angels by taking on flesh and suffering death for everyone. You know already what our response should be as we think about Jesus. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And here, as we've been looking at Psalm 8 this evening, as we've seen the glory of God's creation, as we've seen the glory of man, and as we've seen the glory of Christ, and we've said, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Not only does God want this praise, God has also ordained this praise. Listen to the words of verse 2 of Psalm 8. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. Do you remember those words we can read in the New Testament in the story of Palm Sunday? It started, didn't it, with the cry of the children in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. This was the cry of the children in response to Jesus. They were echoing the cries of the Palm Sunday crowd, Hosanna to the Son of David. Of course, the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scandalized by this. You don't shout in the temple area or in church. And they asked Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? This implied a request, didn't it? A demand even to make Jesus stop the children. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you ever read from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise? In other words, Jesus couldn't make the children stop. He must not make the children stop their praises, because that is what God wants. This is what God has planned for Jesus, for a Jesus who is about to die. That it was God that foreordained to silence people like the Pharisees. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That is what we are to say and sing as we think about creation, as we think of man, and especially as we think of Jesus who tasted death for everyone. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.